All right. It is praise time. Okay. Who goes first? Mark.
Praise the Lord for my health and my wealth.
Amen. Amen.
There's three.
Health, wealth, and wisdom.
Well, I'm not so sure about that part. But
well, you have some. We praise the Lord for how much we have. And for what you're going to do. Joshua.
I got a whole list this morning. I want to praise him. We had some neighbors come down and give us Monster Jam tickets. I've never been. Kids never been like that. So
they'll have a blast.
Yeah, they had a blast. It was awesome.
Went yesterday. Oh, they went yesterday.
Yeah, we went yesterday. It was awesome. So we had to use our date night money to buy the popcorn and stuff. But that blast was great. So that was awesome. Also want to praise him. We got a new truck for Christine. She's been needing a truck and a car. We've been just wearing it out, putting plants and stuff in it. And we've been searching for like a month, and it's like God just put this truck right in our lap, right in our budget. I mean, it worked out perfectly.
Cool.
Well, praise for good employees. I got two good employees right now, and that's a blessing if anyone owns a business. Good employees is a blessing. I got two of them.
Amen. Amen.
I also want to praise him because Donald Trump's acquitted. That was awesome. Got to watch that on the news.
Amen. Amen.
I got a new holster. I'll praise for that. Really cool.
All right. Amen. That's, yeah.
Another one, we got a real big tip from a customer. We just finished a job, went out there, and they gave us a massive tip. And that was really cool. And then he turned around and offered for like a cookout for us and the whole crew to come out and eat with him. So praise God for that. That was awesome.
Amen.
I also just want to praise for his grace, his faithfulness, and his, like he said, his abundance. The abundance of joy, of finances, everything he gives us.
Hey, did you cover that? Have you covered everything for everybody yet?
I had one more. No, that's it. If I got it all, I had a list this morning. I was writing
one
down.
Hey, I'm impressed, man. That's the truth of the matter is, if we paid attention more, more of us would be bringing a whole list in here.
That's the only way I can remember. I get in here and just go blank.
There you go. Amen. This is the part the Lord gets. Cool. All right, who else has a praise? We're not keeping score, but I think the Lord is, but we're not. So what's your praise this morning? Keith.
God's been helping me get a lot more done, more out of my days than I would normally do.
Amen.
I'm staying up with my homework and stuff, which is kind of surprising.
Cool. Kind of surprising? Well, that's awesome. You're not exactly a spring chicken. You got white in your beard there. And you know, having to go back and study for tests and all that, that's not something most people would say, man, I want to do that. Who else? Yes, Christy.
So like Josh said, we got a truck. It was long past due, needed. Weren't looking for it. It just kind of fell in our lap. And it was like, when the good Lord gives you a sign like that, you just do it. You know, you don't think about it, you just do it. And it's great. Like, we couldn't have asked for anything better. And the weather has been nice enough that we are now caught up on all of our customers, and I don't feel like there's this overwhelmingness of we have to get it all done in no time because it won't stop raining. So I'm hoping that maybe it holds off a little bit tomorrow so we can get some stuff done. But you know, it's just been, this past week has been truly amazing.
Well, it seems like the only time we're for sure going to rain is when we want to practice softball. But again today, but we'll see how it goes. But anyway, yes, Gilbert.
I praise the Lord for, I went to the doctor and got my ears and stopped finally, and I guess I didn't realize it, but it came to that point. And not only that, my blood pressure that used to be up in the 140s and 50s is now to 110.
Wow. We may need to stick a compressor on you and pump you up a little bit. That 110 is pretty low.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah, it is good. I hadn't been there in a long time. Yes, Brenda.
I got a nice big raise from my work, a bonus for the year.
Well, amen.
Well, a bonus, and then coming up probably in another month or so would be the time for the raises too. But the bonus, it was definitely a great blessing.
That's great.
And I just want to thank, you know, the Lord for Bible study classes, you know, that we have throughout the week. It's been very helpful for me. I just thank the Lord for
Amen.
Everybody that's been very supportive.
Amen. Well, that's how it's supposed to work. Mark?
I have one more. I've had this reoccurring thought of a past thing that happened in my life, a relationship with someone, and it just happens out of the blue. It just comes, and then I'm thinking about this thing again. So, you know, I took a little bit extra time this morning and thought about it again, and just thanked the Lord that He gave me some insight about what that was for.
Amen. Okay. Well, the Lord does that. He brings things to mind. I've always instructed people that when you get ready to take the Lord's Supper or is to ask the Lord to show you where you've sinned and failed. Andrew mentioned it during our prayer time before praise team this morning, is that we go, you know, we go through our life thinking we're doing pretty good, and if we actually compared it to where the Lord is, where He stands, we're not supposed to compare to each other. But if we compare it to where the Lord stands, then all of a sudden we find lots and lots of flaws. But we have Christ in us. And that's the part that counts. Who else? Praises. Yes, Jerry.
We'll praise for Lighthouse Baptist and for the fellowship associated with it.
Amen. Amen. Tammy?
That I was able to get some freelance work for a floral shop in Houston. Because I thought, well, this would be the first Valentine's in 5 years. I wouldn't be able to work in Valentine, you know, flowers and stuff. So I had two offers, so I took the first one. So
you're a flower child.
I worked in for HEB for a while.
Okay.
I tried to get into the floral department, and it didn't work out, so it was a lot of bad feelings. And so I quit and been trying to pursue floral shops, but then... You know,
but you're in now, at least for a while.
Yeah, I mean, I've had training and stuff, so.
Excellent. Wonderful. We have been toying with the idea of another class decorating contest this year. We haven't had one in about 5 years, so. I kind of like it the way it is, you know.
Don't like change.
But don't like change? No.
Go.
Yeah, yeah. Go ahead, Ed.
Thursday morning, I was in Temple, and cold, opened the door and walked down. There was snow all over the ground up there Thursday morning, about an inch, got a dusting up there, right?
Yeah.
And I was late that morning and not feeling too good, trying to hurry. The blessing I got was, I guess, a lesson, you could say, you know, one that you teach your children not to get to, don't take things at face value.
Yeah.
You
know, yeah.
Have a little more faith, a little more trust in the Lord. And I was going around the loop there, 323 in Temple, right before daylight. And you ever seen the movie Close Encounters of the Third Kind with the guy sitting in the truck and all the lights go out, his flashlight? My truck did that, everything. These old trucks had problems for a while. Just boom. I couldn't see the road, couldn't see anything. Drifted to the side. The engine was still running, but the master cylinder had no power. It was hard to steer, hard to brake.
Whew.
Got off the road, got out, found my flashlight, trying to look at nothing. So I grabbed my cell phone. I'm out of cell range. No bars, no nothing. It's about 28 degrees that morning. You know, and I'm like, all right, Lord, I'm listening. So... You know, about 15 or 20 minutes later, I'm sitting in the truck with the heater on, eating a granola bar, you know, think to myself, have a little talk with the Lord, turn the truck off, try the gear shift again, because it's stuck in a gear. I couldn't get out of gear, so couldn't get it in gear. And it normally, it's had an electrical problem, so if you hit a bump, it's got a short in it,
mm-hmm.
But I'm not moving, so I'm like, well, it's going to take a while. Finally, a police officer came along, pulled up behind me. And I was explaining what's the matter with the truck. And so he was fixing to call me a wrecker. And I tried it again, and everything crunk up, and everything worked, and the lights came back on, and I was able to get to the job.
And what did the officer say? Right, sure, your trucks.
It was one of those situations where when afterwards you look back on it, you're like, okay. You know, it was a blessing in disguise.
So. Amen. Yeah. Well, the Lord, so many things. You just don't realize how many times the Lord steps in and handles things that you don't even know about. And that's just incredible. Who else? Anybody? Mary.
I had a little boy last week in my house. He doesn't go to church, right? I tried to help him with his studies. So I taught him how to pray. He said, I don't know God, Jesus. I don't know how to pray. I taught him how to pray. I taught him to bless the food and all that. And something amazing, God is so awesome. You know, when he went home, his father drove an 18-wheeler, you know, from state to state. He called his daddy, said, Daddy, I'm going to pray for you. His daddy was, what? I'm going to pray for you. And he started praying for him on the phone. I mean, he touched my heart. But, you know, just to show, he said, because he told me, I don't know who Jesus is. He's 9 years old. And I'll have him next week sometime. Well, I'm going to teach a kid. So I just want to share that. God touches the heart of little kids. Can you imagine calling his daddy, Daddy, I'm going to pray for you.
I mean, yep. Yeah. He'll never get over that, Mary. Never will. That's pretty awesome. Amen. Like I say, don't try to top it because you probably can't. Who else? Anybody?
I guess I have one.
Go ahead.
This is lately, the Lord has brought some people into my life that have problems that look like the ones that I used to have with drugs and addiction. And I'm actually able to help somebody else. And I'm just like, can you imagine that?
Imagine that.
Like the idiot that I used to be, helping somebody else get through those things. And some other people that are helping me. And just, it's amazing. And it's something that only God could have done.
Yep.
You know what I mean? And it's just wonderful to be sitting here now, looking around at my life, and who knows, I may even be able to win some of these guys to the Lord. At least I'm going to try.
Amen. Well, yeah, amen. I need to be praising the Lord, and because he deserves it. I've had got a lot done this week. It was just, you know, just a lot of things going on. Just too busy. You ever get too busy? But in spite of all that, it actually worked out pretty good, and things have, it's been a productive week. Anybody else? All right, there's a good old Proverbs 16. We're going to learn something today that is extremely important for a Bible student like you. And not very many people have understand this. This is all going to be pretty educational today. We managed to get through two verses last week. We finished up with 4 and 5 of chapter 16. And where the Bible says, the Lord hath made all things for himself. Who can give me a companion verse to that that teaches us that besides this one? How do you know who created the world?
Scripture.
John 1:1 and 2. Yeah. Says that without him was not anything made that was made. Jesus, and it's talking about Jesus, the word that was made flesh. And then in Colossians, it says, it tells us that all things were made by him and for him.
Through him, amen.
And again, it's talking about Jesus. That's how we know who the creator is. It's Jesus himself. And here, it tells us, the Lord hath made all things for himself. Yea, even the wicked for the day of evil. Now, it's one thing to know that the Lord, say, well, why does God let people go to hell? Why didn't he just make it where everybody had to get saved? I mean, there's a lot of questions you can ask. Probably never come to a conclusion on, but the Lord has made the wicked even for the day of evil. Are lost people going to bring glory to God? When will they bring glory to God?
It's been happening for a long time.
Well, it has, but And the day of evil is particularly a time because every knee should bow and every tongue should confess. And then the scripture goes on to tell us that every knee shall bow and every tongue will confess, shall confess that Jesus is Lord to the glory of God the Father. At the white throne, which is coming, it's at least 1,000 years out. There's some things that I know for sure about timing. The white throne judgment is at least 1,000 years away. It may not be any more than that, but it's at least that, because the resurrection of the believers happened 1,000 years before the white throne judgment. So that's one date you can actually narrow it down to within 1,000 years. But that time that the dead shall be raised, you know, when people read Revelation 20:11, they think, well, that's when all the dead people rise. No, that's when the dead in sins rise. The dead in Christ have risen 1,000 years ago. And then when that 1,000 years is finished, all the rest are going to stand before the Lord as he sits on his white throne in judgment. And the books will be opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the books that are open, of course, these 66 that we're looking at right now. And the dead will be judged out of those things which are written in the books according to their works. How would you do if you were judged by the things that are written in these 66 books according to your works? Yeah, Al. Yeah.
I have a question. I'm not arguing with you, but I am kind of curious. Why do you think that the book that he's referring to is the Bible?
Because the Bible says that we'll be judged, the judgment of God is according to truth. And Jesus said, and thy word is truth. And so there you are. Couldn't be anything else. It's really not a big mystery. It's not a guess. It's very clearly that. Yes?
Jesus said to Pilate, when you hear it, you will know it.
Yeah. So the day of evil, there will not be any knees that aren't bowed, and there will be no tongues that fail to confess that Jesus is the Lord in that day. And the Lord will receive great glory that day. Then that verse is coupled with everyone that is proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord. Even though we unite ourselves together, even though the world is going to do that, though hand join in hand, he shall not be unpunished. Now the next verse, I'm going to challenge you to explain to me how this works. By mercy and truth, iniquity is purged, and by the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. How does mercy and truth purge iniquity? Mercy is, we know what the truth is. The truth is right here. It's God's word. Thy word is truth. How does mercy purge iniquity?
Well, because we don't deserve it. Our just penalty for our sin is death, and that's not what we get. So that's mercy.
Okay. Well, that's true. So the subject is, and it's right here in it, it's talking about men departing from evil. Mark.
So that thought that the Lord was kept on bringing to my attention, you know, he was merciful, and then he allowed me to see it over and over and over again without, you know, judging me for it.
Good.
And he allowed me to learn from it and then back off from a sinful thought maybe that I had or...
Okay. All right.
Isaiah 59 this morning. Yep. And verse number 2, 1 and 2. We're going to learn some cool stuff this morning. And it will help you to understand what we're just trying to get a hold of here in Proverbs.
Isaiah 59:1-2. And here we have, behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened, that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy, that it cannot hear, but your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. So my question is, what's the difference between iniquity and sin? Or is there a difference? Anybody want to take a shot at that? Gilbert?
Iniquity is purposeful, and sin sometimes is in ignorance.
Okay, it's been described that way before, but it's not exactly on target. And I'll show it to you by definition here in a minute. How many of you have besetting sins?
Everybody.
I said, not me. And you
meant
why? I'm not going to ask you what they are. I just said, how many of you have besetting sins?
I even had bestanding sins.
Bestanding sins. Nona, raise your hand. You have them too. Everybody has besetting sins.
Yeah.
Why is your particular besetting sin yours and somebody else's may not even be like that at all?
Made us all different.
Well, okay, the Lord made us all different.
Gives us different strengths and weaknesses.
Okay, all right. This may help you to understand the difference between iniquities and sin. The Bible is very specific about this. Let me get back over here to Isaiah. I want to teach you a couple of Hebrew words. Well, first of all, we're just going to go with sin. Sin is chattah, C-H-A-T-T-A-A-H, chattah. It means an offense. Pretty simple. It's an offense. It may be something you should have done, you failed to do, or it may be something you should not have done that you did. But it's an offense. All right. How many of you remember the Avon lady? Okay. This word iniquity is the Hebrew word avon. It's spelled in English, A-V-O-N, like the Avon lady. Avon is, I think, is the way it's pronounced, but I'm not sure. It's kind of up for grabs. Iniquity is an evil fault. I was discussing this with Lisa this week. She was trying to get a handle on the difference. All of us have propensities. You know what that is? A bend in our makeup, a besetting area of sin in our life. Those are iniquities. That's what an iniquity is. It's a fault in you, in your human makeup. A sin is an offense, a specific offense carried out. Lisa said, okay, let's say someone has an addiction to pornography. So she went right to the worst thing she could think of right offhand to just discuss about it, okay? So let's say that someone has an addiction to pornography. That propensity, that proclivity, or if that's a good word to fit it, or that particular bend in their human nature and their makeup, that is iniquity. That's what it is. And then that someone actually looks at the pornography. That is the sin. See the difference? It's a big difference. Well, there's the thought, you know. But
that sounds like the iniquity brush.
The iniquity is the answer when somebody says, "Keith, what's wrong with you?" Well, you want the whole list? Iniquity is what's wrong with you. Mark.
So going back to verse 2 then of chapter 59, your iniquities have separated between you and your God.
Yeah.
I don't understand that as well as your sins of his face. I mean, I understand that.
Our sinful nature. Let's see. Last week you were, I believe, and you tell me if I'm wrong, but I rarely am, but you tell me if I am, that you were in and out of fellowship with God all week long. Is that true? So was I. Your sins is what did that. You confessed your sins, and the Lord forgave you and cleansed you. Gave you a clean heart and a fresh start. That kind of rhymes, doesn't it? 1 John 1:9. But what it says, your iniquities have separated between you and your God. Well, what led you into that sin? What brought you to that? offense that we're talking about?
That was your iniquities. That what you just said?
It's our nature. It's that particular issue, that particular problem, that particular crook in our bend and our straight and narrow that has led us to that. And then the acting upon it is the offense. Tammy.
Is it thoughts and desires, and then that leads to the actual sin, or?
No, no, not exactly. Why do you have those thoughts and desires? What is in you that causes you to think of whatever that is?
Sin.
It's the flesh. But my flesh doesn't cause me to think of murder. My flesh doesn't cause me to think of, well, I'll give you a whole list of things I don't have a problem with. And the things I do have a problem with, I don't want to talk about. Not with anybody but Jesus. But see, so what causes you to think of that? Is the thought an offense in itself? Or is only acting upon it an offense?
No,
the thoughts are offenses as well, according to Jesus, with that lust after a woman thing. Yes.
Well, you know, I pray and, he's faithful and just to forgive me of my sins, but what do I do with my iniquities?
You wrestle. And I'm not just going to give you a scripture for that. That's what we all do with our iniquities. We do constantly, and we will to the day we die, till we get rid of, as Andrew said, this flesh.
Yeah, and I do pray for them to be removed, but they're not usually.
You realize that if the Lord removed, boy, I can't believe I'm saying this, but it's true. Do you realize that if the Lord removed your iniquities, he'd be taking you home to heaven, because that's the only way it can be done. Now, what we need is for the Lord to help us overcome our iniquities. And by the way, there is an overcoming of iniquities. Not of all, not all at once, but one by one. A man can, a woman can, overcome that bend in her or his nature that causes first the thoughts and then the not dealing with the thoughts, and then that goes on further to plans and actions and things of that nature. Gilbert, you were up.
Yes, it is also relevant to a sin to others with others, or a self-indulging sin, and into insulting the temple of the living God, knowing about him and then acting upon that.
Yeah, someone says, and we've been to this, we've been down this road before. Someone says, well, what if I sin willfully?
Well, it's always willfully.
How can you sin not willfully? Now, I realize that in the Old Testament, the Bible makes provision for someone in the camp who sinned unknowingly. That's a little different subject than what we're talking about here. Sinning unknowingly was all those ceremonial laws to not be, you know, up to snuff on every one of them, and you picked up a stick on the Sabbath day and didn't realize it was Saturday, or, you know, something of that nature. But basically what we're talking about here, sins that separate us between us and God and hide his face, they're pretty much all-knowing. I mean, how do you sin without a thought first? Or the sin is the thought. Mark, go ahead.
So, say, for example, I offend my brother and sister, or brother or sister, and I don't realize that I did it. That's not knowing, right? But it's still a sin, right?
Maybe, maybe not. Let's say, all right, you said something during Young at Heart yesterday. Mary was talking about, she loved the joke that Brother Dimitri told about the Bible salesman. How many of you were not here on Wednesday?
I wasn't here for that.
Well, I'm in here in the dark. Well, he told a story about a Bible salesman. And this guy went to work for this Bible company, publishing company, and he stuttered real bad, and he couldn't get it out, and But they went ahead. They felt sorry for him, went ahead and hired him anyway. So he put him out on this route. He came back in that day, and he sold all of them. He said, how'd you do that? We've never had anybody do that before. And he said, well, I just knocked on the door, and I asked the guy if he would like to buy a Bible. And I said, would you like to buy one, or would you like me to read it to you? and he sold all his Bibles, so it was a... Anyway, it was, as you can see, how entertaining the joke was. I said, but what happens when you have someone in your congregation who stutters really bad?
He did too.
Yeah, he did too.
Point is that what if you're telling a joke like he did and like I just did, and one of you is really self-conscious about your stuttering problem, and you haven't overcome it, and it's, could I offend someone without knowing that I offended them?
Well, you probably offend people all the time when you're preaching the sermon just because they feel like you stepped on their toes.
Thank you. Thanks a lot, Brenda.
That's God pointing out what they need to hear. You know?
So it is possible. It is quite possible to offend someone without knowing that you offended them. So, have you sinned? Harley, you go ahead. We'll discuss this some more.
I wonder how offended Moses was when the Lord called him and his stuttering problem.
Well, the Lord didn't get to tell him that joke.
He might have.
It's not in the scriptures if he did.
Knows the jokes and everything.
But the point is that you can quite easily say something and offend somebody without knowing that you did it.
That's not a sin on your part, is it, to accidentally?
Well, that's what I'm asking. That's what I'm asking you. Did you sin? So.
Unless you're insensitive.
Yeah, I was gonna say, if you're telling like a
rude joke.
Insensitive.
Well, let's talk about that. What if I told you a black joke?
That
would be pretty
good. You should know
nothing. Most of you grew up hearing those jokes and laughing at them when you didn't know any better.
That's true.
I know you did. It's normal. It's not good. It's wrong, but it's still you know, real life. If you knew that you probably shouldn't do that, and there was a, I mean, here's one thing. If I stood at the head of the class and Miss Mary's sitting over here and I told a black joke,
you probably laugh the hardest.
Well, she might, knowing her, but and her knowing me, but that's something I would never want to do. And I don't want to do it anyway, because it's not right if there's no black people in here. And so, well, okay, what's that do to our stuttering joke? We like that joke, too. Let's protect that joke somehow so we can keep it. Well, the truth of the matter is, it might not be the right thing to do. I had really enjoyed the joke, but I got thinking about it later and thought, you know, I'm thinking if we had a 11-year-old boy sitting there that has been fighting it his whole life and people been making fun of him about his stuttering his whole life, how would he feel after hearing that joke told? And yeah. So, if you do something knowing that there's a fair chance of offending somebody or hurting somebody's feelings, it's probably sin on your part.
Yeah.
Well, I think considering the fact that the pastor that told the joke stuttered himself makes a whole lot of difference.
Actually, it wouldn't make a bit of difference to that 12-year-old boy. That.
No. Pastor, aren't we supposed to have a not be easily offended?
That's the next thing we're coming to.
Okay.
If you choose to, you can be offended over just about anything.
And they are today.
We'll often choose that.
I'm going to just chime in and say you can't control how people are going to react to what you say. You don't mean offense, but they take offense. There's nothing you can
do.
Sometimes, yeah. I mean, when you look at the world today, you get into political correctness. Oh, yeah. We can't say this, we can't say that. Some things are simple that we've been saying our whole life.
Yeah.
Is it right or is it wrong?
It all kind of sits on a knife edge there. It can go one way or the other on you just pretty bad. But there are things that we ought to know better than to do, especially in a position of leadership. Well, excluding Aggie jokes, of course. But
excluding.
I will tell you that based on what little I know about the Bible, I think the person that jumps to take offense, if that person is considered a mature or somewhat mature Christian, I think that the person that jumps to take offense is probably committing a greater sin. If you do say something that offends me, and even if I did get offended, and if it did kind of hit me in the heart, I have a responsibility before the Lord to forgive you. Right then. Not after I get over it. Right then. You see how that works? There are things that go on that are not simply black and white issues of wrong. Matter of fact, most things are gray to some degree, like in normal everyday life. Drew?
Well, James 4, it says, to him that knows
to do right and doeth it not,
it's
sin.
You know that it's wrong.
If you know.
And then I don't know if this applies, but Romans 14:23, he that doubts or isn't sure of what he's doing is sinful, I think.
It's a sin.
It's sin.
Yeah, whatsoever's not of faith is sin.
And you do it anyway, even though you're not sure.
Yeah, if it's questionable and you know that you might offend somebody, you better keep your mouth shut. And, of course, that really touched down on the conversation a lot. A lot of times we ought to keep our mouth shut but.
Let me take one straight to you, Pastor.
Okay.
What if somebody says, hey, I'd like to have some of that good hillbilly liquor, and somebody's offended by them saying hillbilly? That would be all on the other person.
Yeah.
Wouldn't you say?
Well, actually, by the content of the statement, it might go both ways pretty good.
We're talking about the offense now. I'm not talking about the drinking. I'm talking about the...
Okay.
We're talking about saying something to... Yeah. We're talking about offending someone.
Yeah. Well, again, yeah.
That's got you...
Yeah. I think it also, you think of like the older like veterans and stuff. So like my dad, his normal verbiage is cuss words.
Like a sailor.
Like he just, it's just how he's talked. And he doesn't like purposely try to offend people with it, but it's going to happen.
It does happen. It does happen. Yeah.
Well, I'll say something and someone takes it the totally opposite of what you meant it to be.
They're sensitive to things, yeah.
Yeah. Well, and that, again, you can choose to be offended if you want to, or you can give the person the benefit of the doubt. If there isn't a benefit of the doubt, you can forgive them. Right then, you don't have to go on with it. You can deal with it. It's doable. Christine.
It's like text messages. When you text somebody, there's no emotion.
There's no inflection in texting, is there? Yeah.
You know, it could offend someone or it could not offend someone. It depends on how that particular person wants to perceive the conversation. You can't always expect to say anything and not offend anybody, because someone is always going to be offended.
Right.
I think it's more so if you feel that what is fixing to come out of your mouth would be offensive to somebody versus how they're going to perceive it. If you don't think it's right, you probably shouldn't say it.
It goes and gets into the issue of actually thinking before you speak, which is not real popular with most people. Ed.
I heard a sermon years ago. It was about iniquities and temptations, how they both, one's a sin, one can lead to sin, they both end up in sin.
Yeah.
Is iniquity and temptation similar in this?
It is similar. Iniquity is that condition within you that causes you to be tempted by these certain things. You'll find people using that as an excuse. Well, and somebody said it here. I can't remember who it was, but God made me that way. Well, he did, maybe. Or maybe the genetic line passed down from you from sinful fathers has made you that way.
That's more so probably the way it is, yeah.
Well, I don't know where this fits in exactly, but I know that sin can lead to iniquity, or at least unleash it. Like in the case of alcohol or drug abuse, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
You all of a sudden have a propensity and a desire to do drugs that you never had before you initially did them.
Let's point out the fact that you may not know about all of your iniquity. You may not be aware. A 12-year-old boy may not know that he has a heritage of alcoholics in his family, and his genetic makeup makes him very susceptible to that.
Are you saying that's not God, Pastor? That makes it, because God knew us before we were named. He knows us at conception.
That's true. How did you become a sinner?
Adam.
Was it God or Adam?
No, it was Adam.
I think that answers it, doesn't it?
Keep coming from there.
Yeah. Okay.